This is the Midweek Rapture broadcast with Carl Kemp. This is broadcast number 2. Good to be with you again. Let's go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 to 4, which we discussed at the end of our study last week. I'll read the verses and make some comments and add to what I said last week. I'll read from the New American Standard Bible, 1995 edition, which I'll always use unless I mention otherwise. Now as to the times and the epochs, brethren, you have no need for anything to be written to you. That's because the Apostle Paul had already taught them about these things. Verse 2, for you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. The day of the Lord, the day of judgment, will start when the Lord Jesus Christ returns to the earth in the middle of the 7-year period known as Daniel's 70th week. As we discussed in some detail last time, the Lord is not coming for us like a thief in the night, as many teach. Verse 4 says, but you, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day would overtake you like a thief. He is coming like a thief in the night only for those who are living in sin without repentance. He is not coming as a thief in the night for those who are ready for his coming. How do we get ready for his coming? By believing the truth of the gospel and living the truth of the gospel through the powerful saving grace of God in Christ. I'll read verse 3 now. While they are saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly, like labor pains upon a woman with child, and they will not escape. We'll stop here for a while. They will not escape, but we will escape. One of the first things that takes place when the Lord returns will be the rapture. They will not escape because they will be saying things like peace and safety, everything is okay, instead of repenting and getting ready to stand before God. I'm going to turn back to Jeremiah 6:14 and 8:11. These verses will help us understand 1 Thessalonians 5:3. Ezekiel 13:10 is a similar verse, but we won't look at that verse here. I'll read Jeremiah 6:14. They have healed the brokenness of my people superficially, saying, peace, peace, but there is no peace. The backslidden prophets and priests in Jeremiah's day were telling the backslidden people of Judah what they wanted to hear. Peace, peace, all is well, which contradicted what Jeremiah, who was a true prophet of God, was telling the people. Jeremiah was telling the people that they must repent, and that if they did not repent, intense judgment would fall on them. But the backslidden people of Judah were clinging to false words like peace and safety, and plotting to kill Jeremiah instead of repenting. They didn't need to worry, they thought, because God will never let a bunch of pagan Babylonians come and destroy Jerusalem or the temple. The people of Judah did not repent, and many of them were carried into captivity. And in 587/586 BC, the Babylonians destroyed Jerusalem and the temple. Now I'll read Jeremiah 8:11. They heal the brokenness of the daughter of my people superficially, saying, peace, peace, but there is no peace. There cannot be peace when God's people continue to live in sin. Now back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 3. While they are saying peace and safety, destruction will come upon them suddenly. God's destructive judgments will come upon them like a thief in the night, like birth pains upon a woman with child, and they will not escape. They will not escape, but we will escape. We will be glorified and raptured to meet the Lord in the air at the time of his return, and we will escape all the wrath being poured out throughout the second half of Daniel's 70th week, and, much more importantly, we will escape the wrath of the second death, which is the eternal lake of fire. Now we will look at two important cross-references that deal with our escaping the wrath to come. First, we'll look at Luke 21, verses 34 to 36. Jesus said, be on guard, so that your hearts will not be weighted down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of life, and that day. He is speaking of the day of judgment that will begin when he returns to the earth. Be on guard, so that your hearts will not be weighted down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of life, and that day will not come upon you suddenly or unexpectedly like a trap. The NIV translates unexpectedly instead of suddenly. For that day to come upon people suddenly or unexpectedly like a trap is the same thing as the day coming upon them like a thief in the night. But, as we have discussed in some detail, he is not coming after true believers like a thief in the night. He has commanded us to get ready for his coming and to always stay ready for his coming. We are in a dangerous place if we are not always ready for his coming. The Lord has commanded all Christians to always stay ready for his coming. We certainly cannot wait for end-time signs to get ready for his coming, but he has taught us of several things that will come to pass before he returns. We learn in Matthew chapter 24 and 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, for example, that Antichrist's abomination of desolation will take place before the Lord Jesus Christ returns to the earth with the clouds of heaven. And we learn from the book of Revelation that the first six trumpets will all sound before the Lord returns in the middle of Daniel's 70th week at the sounding of the seventh and last trumpet. Also, we learn from Revelation chapter 11 of the 3 1/2 year ministry of the two witnesses, also called prophets, that will take place throughout the first half of Daniel's 70th week in the days preceding his coming. The Lord Jesus Christ is not coming for us like a thief in the night, and end time signs will precede his coming. But again, we cannot wait for end time signs to get ready for his return. In Matthew chapter 24, for example, the Lord Jesus Christ exhorted every Christian of every generation of the need to always stay ready for his return. For one thing, if we are living in sin, he may come for us in judgment like a thief in the night at any time. See Revelation 3:3, for example. Now I'll read Luke 21:34 again. Be on guard so that your hearts will not be weighted down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of life, and that day will not come upon you suddenly or unexpectedly like a trap. Now verse 35. For it will come upon all those who dwell on the face of the earth. Verse 36. But keep on the alert at all times, always being ready for his coming, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are about to take place, or things that are going to take place. And the NIV translates, that you may be able to escape, instead of that you may have strength to escape. Those who are ready for his coming will escape all these things that are going to take place. For one thing, we will be raptured from the earth to meet the Lord in the air at the time of his return. I'll read all of Luke 21:36 now. But keep on the alert at all times, praying that you may be able to escape all these things that are going to take place, and to stand before the Son of Man. The Son of Man is the Lord Jesus Christ. Instead of being blown away by judgment when he comes, we will be glorified and stand before him. We will even begin to reign with him in a never-ending reign. Keep on the alert at all times, praying, looking to God in prayer and living for him by his sufficient grace, that you may be able to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. We will escape, but as 1 Thessalonians 5:3 says, they will not escape. I'll read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 3 again. While they are saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly, like labor pains upon a woman with child, and they will not escape. And I'll read Luke 21:36 again. But keep on the alert at all times, praying that you may be able to escape all these things that are going to take place, and to stand before the Son of Man. They will not escape. He is coming after them like a thief in the night. We will escape. He is coming for us who are living for him and looking for his return to bless us and to glorify us. Now let's look at another very important cross-reference, Revelation 3:10, that confirms that we, faithful believers, will not be living on the earth when God pours out his end-time judgments on the world. The words of this verse were addressed to the faithful Christians of the city of Philadelphia in Asia Minor, modern Turkey, about A.D. 95. But the words apply to all faithful Christians of all generations, and they have the greatest application for the true Christians who will be living on the earth when the Lord returns. I believe the Lord is coming very soon, and that we are that last generation. However, even if we are not the last generation, we must make it top priority to live in the light of his coming and to always be faithful to him by his sufficient grace, and thereby to always be ready for his coming. I'll start to read Revelation 3:10. Because you have kept the word of my perseverance. In other words, they were staying faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ and keeping his word, even when it required perseverance in times of trials and testings. It was difficult, but they were staying faithful to his word by his grace. They were overcomers, which we must be according to the book of Revelation. Because you have kept the word of my perseverance, I, Jesus said, also will keep you from or out of the hour of testing. He didn't say, I will keep you through or in or during the hour of testing. He said, I will keep you out of or from the hour of testing. The Greek preposition translated out of or from is ek, E-K. We will be glorified and raptured just before this hour of testing takes place on the earth. This doesn't mean, of course, that the Christians living on the earth before this hour of special testing takes place can avoid being tested. All Christians are tested during the time they live on the earth. The Christians who will be living on the earth throughout the second half of the seven-year period will have to go through this time of special testing. Those Christians, which center in the end-time remnant of Israel, but which also undoubtedly includes many Gentiles, will not become Christians until after the midweek rapture. They will be very thankful to be saved at the last minute, even after the Lord Jesus Christ has returned and the day of judgment has begun, and they won't be complaining about the difficulty of living on the earth when Antichrist is having his super evil 3 1/2 year reign throughout the second half of Daniel's 70th week. Daniel chapter 7 and Revelation chapter 13 both mention that Antichrist's super evil reign will last for 3 1/2 years and that he will overpower the saints. I'll read Daniel 7:21 and 25. I kept looking, and that horn, Antichrist, was waging war with the saints and overpowering them. And verse 25, he, Antichrist, will speak out against the Most High and wear down the saints of the Highest One, and he will intend to make alterations in times and in law, and they, the saints, will be given into his hand for a time, times, and half a time. There is widespread agreement that a time, times, and half a time equals 3 1/2 years. Now I'll read Revelation chapter 13, verse 2, the last part of the verse, and Revelation 13, verses 5 and 7. We will look at these important verses in more detail later as we continue with this study of the end times. First, I'll read the last part of Revelation 13, 2. And the dragon, the devil, gave him, Antichrist, his power and his throne and great authority. This transaction will take place right in the middle of Daniel's 70th week, and at this time Antichrist will begin his super evil 3 1/2 year reign. I'll read Revelation 13:5. There was given to him, Antichrist, a mouth speaking arrogant words and blasphemies, and authority to act for 42 months was given to him. That's 3 1/2 years. And Revelation 13:7. It was also given to him to make war with the saints, and to overcome them, and authority over every tribe and people and tongue was given to him. Ultimately, that authority has to come from God. He uses Antichrist in his end-time judgment of the world. Based on these verses in Daniel chapter 7 and in Revelation chapter 13, it is easy to see that the 3 1/2 years of the second half of Daniel's 70th week will be a time of severe testing for Christians. But it is also clear that Antichrist and his associates will also be against other peoples. As I mentioned, God is going to use Antichrist in his end-time judgment of the world. For one thing, we learn from Revelation chapter 17 that God will use Antichrist to destroy Babylon the great harlot, which is a major feature of God's end-time judgment of the world. The book of Revelation devotes some 3 chapters to God's judgment of Babylon the great harlot. Babylon is a symbol for the world, which includes all the things the devil uses to seduce men from worshiping God, very much including all false religion, including apostate Christianity. I'll read Revelation chapter 17, verses 16 and 17. And the 10 horns which you saw. The 10 horns are the 10 kings who reign with Antichrist throughout the second half of Daniel's 70th week. And the 10 horns which you saw and the beast, Antichrist, these will hate the harlot and will make her desolate and naked, and will eat her flesh and will burn her up with fire. For God has put it in their hearts to execute his purpose by having a common purpose and by giving their kingdom to the beast until the words of God will be fulfilled. It is clear that God will use Antichrist and his associates to destroy Babylon the great harlot. Jesus said in Revelation 3:10, I will keep you out of or from the hour of testing. Let's discuss the word hour. It is clear that Jesus was not speaking of a literal 60-minute hour here. I believe this hour of testing speaks of the second half of Daniel's 70th week. It is interesting that the word hour is used several other places in the book of Revelation of the second half of that seven-year period. I'll give 2 examples. First, I'll read Revelation 17:12. The 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings who have not yet received a kingdom. In the days of the Apostle John, these kings had not yet even been born, much less received a kingdom. But they receive authority as kings with the beast for 1 hour. I believe it is quite clear in this context that the 10 kings will reign with Antichrist, who is called the beast here, throughout the 3 1/2 years that is the second half of Daniel's 70th week. And note that Revelation 17:12 says that they will reign with him for 1 hour. I'll also read Revelation 14, verses 6 and 7. And I saw another angel flying in mid-heaven, having an eternal gospel to preach to those who live on the earth, and to every nation, and tribe, and tongue, and people. And he said with a loud voice, Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. Worship him who made the heaven and the earth and sea and springs of waters. These verses confirm, for one thing, that the gospel will still be proclaimed after the midweek rapture. I have to assume that at least most of the people who will repent and submit to the gospel after the rapture will be people that God didn't deal with, at least didn't deal with much, before the rapture. If God is dealing with us now, we had better repent and submit to him now, in faith. It is very dangerous to put off submitting to God and his gospel when he is dealing with us. But the primary reason we are looking at these verses here is because of the use of the word hour. The book of Revelation shows that God's hour of judgment will continue throughout the second half of Daniel's 70th week. Some other verses in the book of Revelation that apparently use the expression hour or 1 hour to refer to the second half of Daniel's 70th week are Revelation 14:15 and Revelation 18 verses 10, 17, and 19. Now back to Revelation 3:10. Because you have kept the word of my perseverance, I also will keep you out of or from the hour of testing, that hour which is about to, or which is going to, come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. People will be tested regarding who they will worship. God will be calling all people to repent and submit to him and his Son. And at the same time, Antichrist, who will have great power at that time, will insist that all mankind worship him. It will be difficult to not worship Antichrist. As I mentioned, the devil will have given Antichrist his power, his throne, and great authority, and the New Testament shows that miracle-working power will attend his reign. Furthermore, the people who don't worship him and take his mark will not be able to buy or sell, and many will be killed. Ultimately, however, it will prove a lot more difficult for those who reject God and worship Antichrist. I'll read Revelation chapter 14, verses 9 through 12. Then another angel, a third one, followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If anyone worships the beast, Antichrist, and his image, and receives a mark on his forehead or on his hand," we learn of the image of the beast and the mark on the forehead or on the hand in Revelation chapter 13. That's where the number 666 comes in. If anyone worships the beast and his image, and receives a mark on his forehead or on his hand, he also will drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is mixed in full strength in the cup of his anger. And he will be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever. They have no rest day and night, those who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name. Here is the perseverance of the saints who keep the commandments of God and their faith in Jesus. As I mentioned, I believe these are the saints/Christians who will be converted after the midweek rapture. This last sentence confirms that these will be very difficult days for the saints/Christians. It will require intense perseverance. The book of Revelation shows that many of these Christians will be martyred. As Revelation 3:10 and other verses show, the Christians who are being faithful now will be kept out of or from that hour of testing that will come to pass throughout the second half of Daniel's 70th week. Let's turn back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 to 4, where we started today. I'll read verse 2. "You yourselves know that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night." Yes, it will come like a thief in the night for those living in sin and not ready for the day of judgment. But it will not come like a thief in the night for those living for God and looking forward to his return. Verse 3. "While they are saying peace and safety, instead of repenting and submitting to God in this gospel of salvation, then destruction will come upon them suddenly, like labor pains upon a woman with child, and they will not escape. But we will escape, starting with the rapture." Verse 4. "But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day would overtake you like a thief." Praise God for full salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's get ready for his coming, and stay ready for his coming with top priority, as is required of all Christians. This will work for the glory of God and for our great good, and there is no reasonable alternative. Now we'll turn to Matthew chapter 24. This chapter is discussed to some extent in my book, The Midweek Rapture, and there is a verse-by-verse study of Matthew chapters 24 and 25 on my internet site, carlkempteachingministries.com. That's Carl with a K and ministries, plural. carlkempteachingministries.com. I'll start here with Matthew 24, verse 15. "Therefore," Jesus said, when you see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of through Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place. I agree with the widespread viewpoint that the holy place refers to the temple that will be rebuilt in Jerusalem. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of through Daniel the prophet. What is the abomination of desolation that is spoken of several places in the Old Testament book of Daniel? Briefly, the abomination of desolation centers in the fact that Antichrist will go into the temple, stop the sacrifices, and want to be worshipped himself. This blasphemous, abominable act will lead to great desolation. It deserves the name abomination of desolation. I'll comment briefly on the word therefore at the beginning of Matthew 24:15. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation. This word builds on the preceding verses and shows that the abomination of desolation will take us beyond the beginning of birth pangs that Jesus spoke of in verse 8. I'll read verse 8. But all these things are merely the beginning of birth pangs. The change comes at the abomination of desolation. At that time, things will really begin to shake. When is the abomination of desolation? This is a very important question. Most end-time teachers say that the abomination of desolation will take place right in the middle of Daniel's 70th week, that super important 7-year period that we learn about from Daniel 9:27. We'll look at that verse in just a minute. Daniel 9:27 says that the abomination of desolation will take place in the middle of Daniel's 70th week. But it is important to see, I believe, that Daniel 9:27 is speaking of the approximate middle, not the precise middle of Daniel's 70th week. We'll discuss this important point in some detail. I believe the book of Daniel and other considerations shows that the abomination of desolation will take place about a month before the precise middle of Daniel's 70th week. I'll read most of Matthew chapter 24, verse 15 one more time, then turn back to the book of Daniel. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of through Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place. Now turn, if you can, please, to Daniel 9:27. This verse is extremely important to understand the end times. While you are turning there, I'll mention that Daniel chapter 8 is an important chapter on the abomination of desolation. That chapter is discussed in some detail in my book, The Midweek Rapture. I'll read Daniel 9:27 and make several comments. And he, most agree that he refers to Antichrist, will make a firm covenant, or he will confirm a covenant. And he will make a firm covenant or confirm a covenant with the many for 1 week. Most agree that Antichrist will make this covenant or confirm this covenant with Israel. This 1 week is the 70th week of Daniel. It is a week of years, a 7-year period. Daniel 9:27 is the one verse in the Bible that speaks of this 7-year period, but quite a few other verses in the book of Daniel and in the book of Revelation speak of half of this 7-year period, sometimes the first half, and sometimes the second half of the 7-year period. The first 69 weeks that precede the 70th week of Daniel are discussed in the preceding verses, starting at Daniel 9:24. Daniel 9:24 through 27 are discussed in some detail in my book. He will make a firm covenant, or confirm a covenant, with the many for 1 week. But in the middle of the week, he will put a stop to sacrifice and grain offering, and on the wing of abominations will come one who makes desolate, referring to Antichrist, even until a complete destruction, one that is decreed by God, is poured out on the one who makes desolate, referring to Antichrist being completely destroyed. In the middle of the week, he will put a stop to sacrifice and grain offering. That's when Antichrist goes into the temple, stops the sacrifices, and wants to be worshipped himself. That's the abomination that leads to great desolation. One primary reason we are looking at Daniel 9:27 here is because of the words in the middle of the week. This verse shows that the abomination of desolation will take place in the middle of Daniel's 70th week. But as I mentioned, I believe it is important to see that this verse is speaking of the approximate middle of the 7-year period. Daniel 12:11, which we'll look at next, shows that the abomination of desolation will actually take place a month before the exact middle of the 7-year period. A month before the middle is still the middle, using the word middle in an imprecise sense, which is commonly done in the Bible, as I will demonstrate. A month before the middle is only 2.38% removed from the exact middle. The Hebrew noun that is translated middle here is chatsi, C-H-A-T-S-I. It is easy to demonstrate that this noun is sometimes used in an imprecise sense. The New American Standard Bible translated this noun as middle 6 times and as midst 2 times, and quite a few other ways too. In Ruth 3:8, for example, katzi is used of something happening in the middle of the night. The middle of the night is used in a very imprecise sense here. I'll give one more example. In Psalm 102, verse 24, the psalmist requests that he not be taken away in the midst of his days. The midst of his days is very imprecise terminology. It is quite reasonable, therefore, to say that the use of the noun katzi need not be understood in a precise sense in Daniel 9:27. Now I'll turn to Daniel 12:11. This verse uses more precise terminology than Daniel 9:27 and demonstrates that the abomination of desolation will take place about a month before the precise middle of Daniel's 70th week. It's time to stop for today. We'll come back to Daniel 12:11 and the time of the abomination of desolation in the next broadcast. I would like to ask a favor of you. If you're blessed by the broadcast, I would very much appreciate hearing from you. Thanks in advance. I'll make a few announcements. Everything I'll say here and a whole lot more is on my internet site at carlkempteachingministries.com. That's Carl with a K, Kemp, K-E-M-P, and ministries, plural. carlkempteachingministries.com. Individual CDs of the broadcast are available for $3 plus $2 shipping and handling for each order. The first CD has broadcast numbers 1 and 2, and so on. Today's broadcast is number 2. My book, The Midweek Rapture, which is a 360-page book, is $20 plus $2 shipping and handling for each order. A chapter of the book is included on my internet site. The book is also available from Amazon.com and from ArmageddonBooks.com. For the purchase of CDs and or the book, make the checkout to CFC, Christian Fellowship Church, and send the order to Carl Kemp, Post Office Box 1816, St. Charles, Missouri, 63302. The purchase of CDs or books is not tax deductible, but if you would like to help pay for radio time, which would be greatly appreciated, you can send a tax deductible offering made out to CFC to the address mentioned above. May God's good and righteous and holy will be accomplished in our lives. In Jesus' name.